Welcome to Life-Giving Water Messages, where I take the Word of God and, through the internet, deliver it to you. Today's message is based on Philemon chapter 1, verses 23 through 25, and it is entitled, Graceful Justice, Final Greetings. So let us dive into the Word today. Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, sends you his greetings. So do Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, and Luke, my co-workers. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. Let us review what we have covered thus far regarding this letter from Paul to Philemon, a fellow brother in Christ and leader of the church, or of a church anyway, a congregation in Colossae. And what I want to explain to you is actually when Paul is writing his letters to the church, he's not writing it to a specific local congregation. He's not writing it to a specific building. He's writing it to all of the Christians who are meeting in various places throughout the city of Colossae and that region. So, and often the letters would be passed from church to church, would be copied and given to different churches for them to read and discuss and go over. So, yeah, I mean, Paul's not writing to a specific church building. Like when we think of, a church in New York City, St. Patrick's Cathedral, we're thinking of a specific church building and a specific congregation. Paul is talking to all of the Christians who are meeting, no matter what congregation they belong to, no matter what household they're meeting in. But in this letter to Philemon, he's actually addressing it to a specific person who happens to be working alongside of Apphia, who is probably his wife, and Archippus, who is probably his son, or at least tradition has them being that. But they're also influential leaders in that church congregation, and Paul's also writing it to the church. So, you know, that's important for us to keep in mind, for sure. But let us review what we have covered so far. And that, you know, in the fact of the matter is that Paul's writing to Philemon. And while he's writing to Philemon while in prison, probably around 60 CE, which is the same thing as AD. CE stands for Common Era. So he's writing probably around 60 CE during Paul's first imprisonment in Rome. And while in prison, he writes a letter, he wrote a letter to his, quote, beloved, end quote, co-worker, Philemon, to his church leaders, Apphia and Archippus, again, who were probably Philemon's wife and son, and to the church members who meet in Philemon's household, in Philemon's house. Now, why was Philemon writing this letter? Because Philemon's slave, Onesimus, if you remember, has come into contact with Paul. He came into contact with Paul while Paul was in prison, and he more than likely explained that he was Philemon's slave and had run away. Now, we don't know why Philemon ran away. Paul doesn't explicitly state why he fled. But he gives us hints at it, because Paul, states that Onesimus, whose name, by the way, means useful. Now, I want to make this clear, okay? Onesimus's name means useful, and Paul states that Onesimus hasn't been of much use to Philemon in the past, but now he's very useful to both of them. So Paul is doing a word play here with Onesimus's name. Onesimus, which means useful. Onesimus, again, means useful. And Paul is saying that Onesimus hadn't been of much use to Philemon, but now he's very useful to both of us, to both of them. So Paul, throughout this letter, does a word play with Onesimus' name. Later on, when he asks, when he asks Philemon to do him a favor that comes from the same word that Onesimus's name comes from, the same root, and it too it means use. Be of use to me. Do me a favor. Be of use to me. So Paul, all the way throughout this letter, is using Onesimus's name and doing a word play on it in the letter. That, unfortunately, and this is the problem with English translations, unfortunately, all of that intricacy, all of that depth, all of that irony is lost in the English language. We just read it as, well, he wasn't useful to Philemon, and we don't realize that Onesimus itself is the same, it comes from the same root word that the word useful comes from. So it is likely, though, at least it seems likely, that Philemon was displeased with his slave for not being useful. We don't know why he wasn't useful or what not being useful actually meant to Philemon in context with his relationship with his slave. So we don't really know what's going on there. But Paul hints at the fact that maybe Onesimus wasn't seen as the most productive or useful slave. And it is possible that Onesimus may have stolen stuff from Philemon when he ran away. Paul, again, toward the end of his appeal, he says, you know, and if Onesimus owes you anything, charge it to me, and I will make sure I pay it. And I won't even mention how you owe me your very soul. So Paul is clearly, you know, using rhetoric there and saying, hey, look, you know, it's because of me that you are even in ministry right now, and that you have been taught the ways of Christ, and that and probably there's more going on there as well in the context of the relationship between Paul and Philemon. But he's reminding Philemon who he is without saying, hey, you know me, I'm an apostle, I'm the one that opened up the covenant to the Gentiles, and you are a Christian as a result of me. Rather than going down that road, he just says, I won't even mention, you know, how you owe me your very life. But do me this favor, be of use to me. So it is possible that Onesimus may have stolen stuff from Philemon, since he is in context, again, saying that, you know, if he owes him anything, to charge it to Paul. And it wouldn't be a big surprise if Onesimus did steal something. After all, the trip from Philemon's house in Colossae, where his church met, to where Paul was in Rome was approximately 1,277 miles away from each other, and no short distance for any slave to travel, especially if they've got nothing on them. I mean, if they're just running through all that land, and you have to cross, to get there, you almost have to cross water, or you're going to be taking the long way around, which makes the trip even longer. This is no short distance for Onesimus to be traveling. It is possible he stole something from him. But again, it's not really explicitly stated. It's more implied. But what we do know is that Onesimus sought Paul out. And this is important. Under Roman law, a friend was permitted to advocate on the returning slave's behalf in the interest of his or her safety and well-being. And often the case, slaves that ran away from their master would often go to somebody who had more authority than their master, somebody who knew their master, had authority over their master, and they would appeal to that person, their case. And if that person bought their story, they would then vouch for the slave and talk with the person that they had authority over and say, hey, you know, your slave has come to me, they're saying that this is what happened, you should take them back and you better treat them nicely. So what Paul is doing here is working right within the context of the Roman the Roman culture and the Roman society and the rule of law in Rome. But under the Roman law, this was not necessarily uncommon for a slave to run away from their master and seek asylum and seek refuge in somebody who knew their master and perhaps even had authority over them, but certainly was friends with them. And clearly, Paul was doing such for Onesimus. Furthermore, Onesimus, and this is important, furthermore, Onesimus had converted to being a Christian as we discussed last week. And Paul didn't state whether he brought Onesimus to Christ or if Philemon had, but what is for sure is that he is a brother in Christ. Thus, Paul appealed to Philemon using well-crafted rhetoric to welcome Onesimus back, not as a slave, you know, not take him back as a slave, but treat him nicely, but to welcome Onesimus back as a brother. And in fact, Paul appealed to Philemon not only to welcome him as a brother, but to welcome Onesimus as he would Paul, to treat him as if he were the apostle himself. And again, he promises to pay Philemon back for anything that Onesimus may have taken from him or owed him. If you remember, Paul opened his letter up with a warm and sincere greeting. He sent his greeting to Philemon and to the church leaders. He also greeted the whole congregation meeting in Philemon's house. Paul realized that the plea he was making would not just affect Philemon, but it would also affect the social relations within the congregation. This is important to understand. Paul is not just an apostle and an evangelist. He's a pastor at heart. And this Paul's greeting here was not just a courteous formality, but it revealed his pastoral concern as well, his pastoral concern for this congregation. This is the type of stuff that can divide people contentiously and cause churches to split, you know, some saying, hey, you know, Philemon did wrong, or Onesimus did wrong, and he should be punished under Philemon, and other people going, hey, but Paul, our brother Paul, an apostle, told us to treat Onesimus as one of us, and we should do that. I mean, you can just see the contention stirring up. And so Paul has that in his concern, and he greets them and acknowledges the good work that this church is doing. So he's not just giving credit to Philemon, he's giving credit to the church as well, because they're all doing the good work of Christ in their community in Colossae. In today's text, we move past his appeal into Paul's final greetings. He greeted Philemon and his church on behalf of Epaphras, who was either attending to Paul while he was imprisoned, or he was imprisoned with him. And furthermore, Epaphras evidently is from Colossae, so it's somebody that this church in Colossae would have been well known, somebody who was instrumental in founding the church in Colossae. Again, not the specific church, but the entire church, all of the Christians in Colossae. He was probably somebody who worked alongside of Paul, hence why he's with Paul now. But he doesn't just stop there and send greetings from Epaphras. He also greeted them on behalf of Mark, who was Barnabas' nephew, if you recall Barnabas from Acts, if you know Acts. Demas, and he also greets them on behalf of Aristarchus and Luke. Now, Luke was the same guy who authored the Gospel of Luke and Acts. Now, there's debate whether he really authored it or not, but it is a possibility and a good possibility that this is the same guy that wrote Luke and Acts. And in Acts in particular, we the author starts switching from they did this to we did this, as if the author was a part of Paul's group. So we're talking about like some major players here in the Christian faith, in the early Christian faith. So we have Epaphras, Mark, we have Aristarchus, and we have Demas and Luke. And again, while Paul was seeking justice for Onesimus, he was not out for blood here. He's sincerely sending them these greetings. He did not write the letter in all capital letters as if he were on social media and screaming at somebody, nor did he threaten Philemon, call him names, or throw labels at him. He didn't unfriend him either. Rather, Paul sought justice by appealing to Christ within Philemon and within that church community. Let me repeat that. Paul sought justice by appealing to Christ within Philemon and within that church community. Rather than attack his close friend and co-worker, Paul reminded him of Christ, who was within him, and who had done great work through him. Paul was seeking justice gracefully, for God's justice is graceful justice. Amen? God's justice is graceful justice. Finally, Paul wrapped up this short but powerful letter with a benediction, a blessing directed to the whole congregation. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. My friends, brothers and sisters, this is the model for seeking justice that the apostle left us. This is the model for seeking justice that Paul left for us. And it is the model we see in each of his letters. A greeting, prayer and thanksgiving, an appeal or command, depending on the context, and well wishes, followed by a prayerful blessing at the end. Are we being graceful in our approach with each other? Are we making sure we are gracefully holding each other accountable? That God's grace is at the center of all that we do, of everything that we do? That love is our chief motivator? For as the author of 1 John writes, for those who do not know love, they do not know God, because God is love. Is love our chief motivator? Do we operate in grace? I want you to reflect on that, on how we can grow in grace. And we'll, in the conclusion to this series, we will see how far Paul was willing to go to bring people together in love and in grace. Amen. And so I'd like to thank you for tuning in and listening to this message, Graceful Justice, Final Greetings. There is one more message coming after this in this series. This is a 6-part series, so that there is another message called Graceful Justice at All Costs, and it will go into showing how Paul implemented this, not just with Philemon, but in his own life and at all costs. So I'd invite you to come back when we do that series. Now, we will not be doing that series next the next couple of weeks following this week, as I will be on vacation. So I'll have some other stuff recorded for you to listen to while I'm away. But I do want to invite you to come back when I return from vacation. And that will be on July 22nd, July 22nd, we will have our, we will conclude this series on July 22nd. So definitely tune in on July 22nd for Graceful Justice, Final Greetings. Finally, I'd like to invite you to check out our websites, for our devotions. www.lifegivingwaterdevo.org. You can sign up for my devotions there. You can also go to lifegivingwatermsg.org, and that is the website for this podcast, but you can also get the podcast on iTunes, on Google Play Music, and now on Spotify. Yes, my friends, Spotify now has Life-Giving Water messages on it, so you can get that from there as well. Finally, myself and the good Right Reverend Sal Sermarco, the Presbyterian fellow of mine, friend of mine. And, you know, we'll forgive him for the Presbyterian part of it, but no, only kidding. The Presbyterian minister, Sal Sammarco, who is a good friend of mine, him and I will be launching a new podcast called Party on Johncast. And we got the name Party on John because both John Calvin and John Wesley have the name John. And so this will be talking about theological issues from both his perspective, which is a Calvinist perspective, and my perspective, which is a Wesleyan perspective, which is rooted in Arminianism, for those of you who know the Reformation history. So but yes, so join us for Party on John Cast. Party on John Cast. It should be a great time, and we'll be recording its first premiere episode very shortly. So again, tune in, and I look forward to you joining and tuning in to the next message. There will be messages while I'm away on vacation, but we'll conclude this series on July 22nd. Again, thank you, and God bless you, and be a blessing to others. Go in peace.